Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Well, good morning, everybody, and it is so good to see you here this morning for church. If you are tuning in this morning to Exchange and this is your first time, you are so welcome. And we're so grateful that you're visiting with us. And which is like a weird thing to say, isn't it? You're visiting with us. You're actually probably sitting in your own house as toasty and whatever as you like, because we are founder down here. I'm just going to say that right now. It is anything but warm in our church, and so I can't really feel my hands. I've lost them, but it's great that you're here with us. And I'm going to bring a word this morning which is really going to encourage you. And I would encourage you right now, see, just for this next, you know, I don't know how long, I'm going to, half an hour or whatever, just really, really listen to what the Lord has to say to you this morning, because I believe that this is a word not just for today, but I believe it's a word that's going to really help you as you go through the rest of this year. And if you're looking for like an encouragement today, if you're looking for hope today, if you're looking for a way to experience more of God and His goodness in your life, then this is going to be a great morning for you. Now, I want to start by saying, as you, many of you will know, this week as a church family, we were dealing with the sudden death of one of our members, Heather Gilliland. And we're going to have a tribute to Heather at the end of the service today. And we're going to be playing one of her favorite songs. And I know that Ivan is watching this morning. And we really wanted to mark this morning, remembering Heather and being really grateful to the Lord for her and for her life and for her impact that she's had on all of us here in the Exchange family. I was actually here in church at the start of the week when the news came through that she had passed away very suddenly at home. And I think it's true to say that, you know, certainly the guys who were here at church, we were all like really shocked and really saddened when we heard the news. It's almost like you hear the news, but it doesn't seem real. You know, it's like, you know, it's, I heard the words, but it took a moment, almost like going, did I really hear? Is that what I just heard? And actually, it didn't seem real. And I know that that's what it's like when we have news like this. It doesn't seem real, but it is real. And the pain of it is real, and the loss is real. And so we find ourselves in this place today where we're not sad for Heather, because honestly, right now, Heather is in the presence of Jesus. And this is the hope that we all have this morning. If you're listening to me today, we do not need to be afraid of death. Okay, we don't mourn for Heather in the sense of being sad for her, because right now she is with Jesus in a place where the Word promises us, and this is the hope that we have, church, that there is a place where there is no more pain, there's no more sickness, there's no more disease, there's no more dysfunction. And it's in that place of the purest love, the very presence of Jesus Himself, and that's where Heather is today. And it'll only be a blink of an eye until we see her again. That's the hope that we have. But we mourn our loss in the sense of, you know, we will miss her, and we will miss the incredible person that she was to us, the cheerfulness and faithfulness and the love that she would show that in such a practical way all the time. And just so we will miss her, and but at the same time we are rejoicing that this hope that we have, Heather has gone before us to experience the presence of Jesus. Now so stick with me as I go through this today, because we will have a few more things to say just at the end of this sermon, but I want to help you, okay? Because I just don't want to talk about something which is kind of unrelated to what we've experienced as a church family this week. In John 16:31, Jesus tells us that we will have trouble in the world, but He also says, take heart, because He's overcome the world. Church, I want to encourage you today, we do live in a broken world. There will be many events that will come into your life and into mine that have, now it's only potential, that's the thing. They have the potential to either bring us closer and into a fuller experience of Jesus and His grace, or what they will be is there'll be something that robs us of faith and trust to believe in the goodness and the faithfulness of Jesus Himself. And every event carries that potential. Okay, it's not almost the event in and of themselves, but it's how we respond to those things that happen to us. There's a sense that, you know, the events are really tough, and I'm not playing that down. I felt my own emotions this week go up and down at the funeral on Friday. At times just holding it back, to be honest. When you know you have to speak and you have to, but with my own questions and my own emotion at times, just thinking, Lord, you know. But it's actually, I felt the Lord really encouraging me to go, choose to respond. You choose your response to what's going on around you. And I'm not talking down the significance, okay? I'm not doing that in any way. But I really feel that today, the Lord actually started to speak to me, at the end of last week about a word that I needed to bring for you today. Because no matter what goes on, all right? And no matter what challenges we face and when things are difficult, what happens is when we allow the grace of God and we allow His love and His goodness to fill our hearts and to flood our hearts and to flood our lives, what happens is even though things are very difficult, grace actually will deny them a place of influence in our life. That's what happens. And so I felt the Lord wanted me to encourage you today with a word that is about how you're going to stand in 2021 when life is tough, when you are thrown things unexpectedly, when challenges come. How do you walk through those as an overcomer and see the goodness of God in these days? What is that like? Where do we go to the Word to find that? And whenever we find, you know, ourselves in these positions, I want to say the only place that will really give us what we need is the Word of God. And what happens is the Spirit of the Lord Himself takes the Word and applies it to our lives and our hearts and brings us great comfort. So remember a few weeks ago, I said that I felt that this year at Exchange was a year of peace, a year of shalom, and all that that means. There's no doubt that we need to draw every day and do what Jesus did. I taught a few weeks ago how Jesus would spend time alone with His Father and pray or exchange. And I'm going to remind you of some of that actually today. But what He did is He took the weight, He took the burden, He took the heaviness of what was going on. And what He did was He transferred that to His Father and He received faith instead. Every negative circumstance, folks, has the potential, okay, to either turn you from God and turn you to doubt. It'll cause you to doubt His love, doubt His goodness, doubt His faithfulness, doubt His word. And the things that we do not understand, actually, like this week, I found myself going, I don't understand this one. Honestly, I don't. Okay? But what I resolved in myself was not to allow the questioning, if you like, to take away from my conviction that God is good all of the time. So we're not about denying our circumstances, okay? We're not about ignoring our challenges, but we're about recognizing that there is a greater truth and there is a greater authority over your life and mine this morning, and that is Jesus, the King of Kings. Amen? Now, if you're enjoying this morning, what I want to say is get onto the chat and just connect with the church family this morning and let us know how you're doing. Let us know that you're feeling blessed, that you can feel the presence of the Lord right now, wherever you are, because we want to know that our church is doing well in these times, okay? Now, in Jeremiah 29:11. These are really well-known verses. And this is where the Lord brought me to again. And He said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. I'm going to unpack this in a minute. Says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So God wants you to enjoy shalom peace. Remember, safety and health and prosperity, peace, rest, wholeness and favor. What does it mean, though, the thoughts that God has towards you? Because it's not what He says here. The Lord says, I know the way that my thoughts towards you. Well, it's actually a Hebrew word, and it's makashabo, right? It's quite a tricky one, makashabo. And sounds like monkey. Remember that program, makashabo? And it means intention, all right? What it means is this is God's intention towards us. Do not ever doubt whatever is going on around you, that God's intention towards you is always good. It's always for your best. And that is the truth that transcends every circumstance, every situation, every challenge, and every doubt. Can you say with me this morning, even in some of our pain and in our sadness, that God is good all of the time? Because today, right now, wherever you are, as you are listening, okay, and receiving that word, which goes against our emotion, goes against what we can see, even what we're feeling, but as you receive the word of truth, as you're listening right now, you're actually receiving everything that you need. You see, it's God's love, it's Jesus' unmerited favor, His grace that equips you with your power to walk through difficult days. and even tough days, even the rest of 2021, whatever it might look like for you, when you have challenges, right? It's actually as you receive grace that life comes in you. This is, it actually says this in Romans 5:17, some of my favorite verses. This is Paul writing, and he says, "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man," that's talking about Adam, "much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness," so you receive the abundance of God's unmerited favor and the free gift of righteousness, "much more will those people reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." So let me just help you with what that verse is actually saying. You receive charis. I'm just going to drop into the original language here. You're going to receive charis, which is undeserved, unearned, unmerited favor. The love, the faithfulness, and the good intention of God. When you receive that, what happens is, it tells us here that you are made totally acceptable. You receive that gift. Righteousness just means you're totally acceptable to God. Dikatsune. And then it says you will reign as a king. It says you'll reign in life. And the word here is basilio. And what that means is, you know, it's only through grace. Like the picture of a king is one who is sitting above. As things go on all around, he is the one that's sitting above. And it's almost like these things are happening. It's not that the things aren't happening, but you're above them in terms of your position, and you're not bowled over by them. It's only through grace that we're able to sit above. Honestly, see this morning, the things that are going on around you, if you need to rise above those, not be pushed from pillar to post, okay, you have to learn to receive more grace. Now, why is it that some people seem to see that more than others? What is that about? You know, why is it when you look at somebody else's life and they seem to do pretty good, right? They seem to go through just stuff and they do it maybe better than your peers that they do, you know? We're never convinced that it's always the case, to be honest. Now, you might think that they're more holy. You might think they're more committed, that they've given more, that they're more favored. But actually, you know what the Lord sent to you this morning? There's a common grace that applies to all men and women with no impartiality shown or any differences shown. Okay? Now, there are many reasons why some people thrive through difficulty and other people struggle, but I want to look at one particular thing today. And it's going to affect your 2021. It's going to affect your future. It will affect everything that you put your hand to. All right? And it's, how are we going to live and make sure that we don't drift from the grace that God has given us? And there's a brilliant story. I'm going to compare two characters for you today. And this really helped me because, you know, in my life at times, I know what it's like to kind of feel like, you know, sometimes you feel closer, sometimes you feel further away. You know what I mean by that? Sometimes I feel like I'm doing better, even though I'm not, because God loves me the same anyway. But it's this kind of, you know, how do I keep myself in that place of being able to receive grace? Because remember, the word says his intention is always good to me. He's always pouring grace towards me. All right. And so what I have to do is I have to receive that grace in order to rise above and not be pushed about by my circumstances. Well, actually, in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 13, listen, these are brilliant. It's King Rehoboam, who I bet you all of you just go, "Oh, Rehoboam, my favorite character. He's awesome." But it says this: Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now, Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, and she was an Ammonitess. Now listen to this. And he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He did evil because he didn't prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Now, like I've said, probably Rehoboam, some of you are going, "Who? Never heard of him." And but he's actually in the Bible. And he's the son of Solomon, and he's the grandson of King David. So this boy came from good stock, right? You know, that's a good heritage that he has. And, you know, these are the last words actually that we read about him. And, you know, last words can be really important because they tell us something and they leave a mark on us and they leave a lesson. And it says here, he did evil because he didn't seek his heart. He didn't set his heart, rather, to seek the Lord. So let me ask you a question. How are you going to thrive in situations that are difficult. In pandemic, in relationships, in loss and in pain, in mourning, how do we stay the course, right? And not just become mediocre or drift away completely. Why is it that some people seem to be able to keep going no matter what the situation is and still walk and see the goodness of God? Well, I want to tell you something today that every one of us can do it. And I was so, I felt the Lord so impressed this on me last week as we were just thinking through the whole situation with Heather and Ivan. And I know so many people actually who at some stage, you know, have been walking with the Lord and, you know, as we would say, like they were saving in the meeting, you know, I'd use that Belfast expression. I think of friends who I grew up with even. And I think, you know, what is worse is that there are now people who have kind of not even walked away, but they just settle for so much less than what Jesus has for them. And they live in some kind of limbo with Jesus. You know, here's my deep conviction on this, right? Most people don't wake up in the morning and plot badness or evil. Most of us don't, okay? I actually don't even think that most of us plan on living a life, particularly if you have encountered Jesus at some point in your life. I honestly don't think that many of us get up and we kind of decide that we're going to slowly drift away from God, all right? I don't think that's ever in our hearts, but we often find ourselves, because circumstances can be hard or circumstances can be very challenging, that we find ourselves doing that. So we have to be equipped for adversity. Now, this is not having a negative outlook on life. Why? Because we know God's intentions, his thoughts towards us are always good. So we don't expect negativity and badness. That's the point. It's not about having a negative defensive view of your life today and the rest of your 2021. But why settle for anything less than God's very best for you? And what do you do when adversity comes? The question then is, what have you put in place in your life that will stop you from either falling away completely or just bit by bit letting your heart grow cold till you find yourself in a place where you wake up one day and go, how did I get here? I didn't choose this. Is that making sense to you this morning, folks? If you don't have a foundation, then when things are hard, you will be overcome. You'll fall into negative thinkings and patterns of it, and then that is a plan of the enemy to take you out so that you miss the very best of what the Lord has. And that is over and above every one of our circumstances. We'll always have the chance to be challenged. We'll always have the opportunity to be disappointed. We will all be faced with things where we can either fall away or miss what God has for us. And you see it here in Rehoboam. He started off good. He started off serving the Lord. His heart was sensitive. We know this. You know, and he followed God. So Rehoboam wasn't a bit of a lazy bum or a layabout. There was a time, you know, you can read about it, that the 10 northern tribes and the tribes of Benjamin and Judah in the south, they're all going to war, right? And the prophet speaks and Rehoboam listens. And so he says, okay, I hear you and I'm not going to go. And so there is this point in his life where he's hearing the Lord and close to the Lord, where he's sensitive to the Lord and doing what the Lord wants him to do. But then at the very end, it's kind of like, but it says he didn't set his heart. Now, let me tell you something. It's only the enemy, it's only the devil himself that has a plan to steal, kill, and destroy from your life. Anytime you're stolen from, there's killing or destroying going on, it's the enemy. He wants to cut you off from the very best that God had for you. And what we see in Rehoboam, he didn't fix his heart on seeking God and he ended up missing it. Now, let me just compare this. His granddad was different. David, King David, right? He says this in Psalm 57. He goes, my soul is among lions and I lie even among them. I'm just going to compare two things for you. And we want to sit with where David is, right? Okay. I lie even among them that are set on fire, even the sons of men whose teeth and spears and arrows and their tongue a sharp sword, right? So basically, David's under pressure, lots of people coming after him and wanting to kill him. But then he says, be thou exalted, O God. I'm doing this in the like original, okay, in the, because it's the best, it's the closest translation to what the original Hebrew actually is, okay? So I haven't gone proper old school here if you're thinking, what version of the Bible is that boy's using? But above the heavens, let thy glory, let your glory be above all the earth. They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me into the midst whereof they have fallen themselves. Selah. Now listen to this. Selah just means pause. Now, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory, awake. Psaltery and harp, I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great unto the heavens, and thy truth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be over all the earth. My heart is fixed, David said. And in this, we start to see the key to overcome when things are hard. The word in verse 7 is kun, okay? It's a Hebrew word, and it means to be prepared, to be fixed. So this is David describing his heart when everyone around him is trying to kill him, all right? And not just saying hurty words to him, right? Or kind of putting nasty stuff on Facebook. They literally wanted his life. But he says, in the middle of all that, my heart is absolutely fixed. It means firm in its position. It's not subject to change or to variation. You know, Saul had been trying to kill David because Saul knew that he would be king, you know, and so they were all out to get him. But here's what marked David out. Rehoboam didn't set his heart, and therefore he fell away. David said, no matter what's going on around me, I'm going to fix my heart. And then he starts to give thanks and praise. He starts to lift up his head in worship. He starts to go, because one thing that was not up for doubt or up for a question with David was, my heart is fixed towards the Lord. It's fixed towards his grace. And that's not going to change. Now, there's part of it, I'm going to help you with that, because I know that when emotions are playing a big role in how we're thinking and feeling, that you kind of go, well, my heart's all over the place, Andrew, so you need to help me with that. Now, when you set your heart on a course of action, okay, you normally set it before something happens. And when you set your heart before, that means you don't fall over when things come your way. It's the same word that we've been talking about when Jesus and his Father talked with each other. You know, I've said before, like, we're really good at reactionary praying, like praying when things go wrong. There's nothing wrong with that. But I felt the Lord encourage me to encourage you again today, that we get to choose him and fix our hearts in every situation. And oftentimes the very worst time to learn how to swim is whenever the waves are crashing right over your head. So we decide, and it is a decision of our will. Now listen to me. And it's not a decision of your will alone, because I know at times I really want to choose God, but things are tough and I feel my heart go. Is that too honest? But that's the way that it is. But that's not what we're talking about here. There's a key here. In fact, we'll get to decide that we get to choose him whatever the situation. Unless you set your heart on a course of Jesus and his grace, and you say, no matter what comes my way, I believe in the goodness and the faithfulness and the grace of God, and that is my position. What we then start to do is we start to see everything through the lens of Jesus and his work, and not the other way around. Because if we try to make sense of the word of God and the promise of God, seeing it through the lens of some of the natural things that happen with us, then what happens is we reduce the Lord to simply the sum total of our experience. And we need this external point of reference where we turn around and we say, I don't understand. The Lord can deal with that. I don't know, I don't like, I feel, but Lord, my heart is fixed and my lens is Jesus and his love for me. If you don't do that, what will happen is, it's like this, it's like an imperceptible drift. It's progressive, day after day after day, okay? And what will happen is, it's this danger of having a relative theology, one that molds itself to the situation that you find yourself in. And we can be very good at justifying to ourselves, okay, a course of action in our lives and going, well, it's okay because, right? And that, because I'm feeling this way. But we can't. See, that's what Rehoboam did. He didn't fix his heart. And so when circumstances came, it pushed him. But David, however, and remember, David was a basket case at times. We tend to forget he was an adulterer, a murderer, and was up and down like a fiddler's elbow. But, you know, so if you're sitting here this morning going, oh, well, David was really cool. No, David had his stuff going on, folks. All right, he was up and down, but the Lord looked at him and the Lord loved him, and the Lord, you know, didn't count that up and downness and massive stuff in his life against him. He just, you know, because his heart was turned to the Lord, he was soft towards the Lord, and he saw everything through the lens of the Lord. So, you know what? I think that some of us can be afraid of absolutes. Okay, well, it can't just be that way. Actually, I believe that the world today will tell you that there are no absolutes, that you can't really trust anything or anyone because everything's up for grabs. Let me tell you something. The word of the Lord stands forever. The promise of Jesus stands forever. Today, Heather Gilliland is in the presence of Jesus for eternity. What do we know? We know that life is short, death is certain, but eternity is forever. Amen? And right now, we are fixed on that. You know, when we look at death, when we look at loss, we look at it not through the lens of the world. We look at it through the lens of the hope of Jesus, and all things are changed. Amen? Now, this can be a new way of living for most people. And, you know, it can be different because we're used to going like kind of up and down, all right? But let me just tell you something. I'm gonna start to round up here. It says in the word in Isaiah 43, it says, don't remember the former things, right? If this is new to you, let me give you an encouragement. The Lord says, don't remember the former things, nor consider the things of old in your life. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I'll even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The former ways of living, you know, and working stuff out for many of us, you know, I would say probably, and this is a bit of a blanket one, okay, but generally speaking, I haven't seen it work for a lot of people. And it's, you know what I mean? It's like trying to thrive and do well in your life just on your own resource, or even your resource plus Jesus bolted on. It's madness to keep doing that, folks. Do something new. The Lord wants to do something new in you. And sometimes even situations like we've walked through this week are a fantastic opportunity for the Lord to do something new in us and show us again, to recalibrate us and get us pointing in the right way, some of us. You know, you don't have to look back and feel like, you know, if it's not like your life has been dry or there's not much fruit. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about God wants you to experience something new from this moment on. It actually says in Galatians 5, and so how do we do it is what I'm getting to. So how do we do that? Well, we stand fast, okay? So in the Old Testament, Rehoboam doesn't stand fast. David says, I'm going to fix my heart, right? I'm going to choose to only see this world through the lens of God. For him, it was through the promise of God. For us, it's through the finished work of Jesus. And then Paul, when he's writing to the church in Galatia, he says this, stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not become entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So he just says, stand fast, right? Now, I remember actually teaching on this a few years ago, actually, and I'm going to say this, I've changed my tune, right? And because whenever, I don't know, what do you hear whenever you hear stand firm? Stand fast, fix your heart. I know for me, I go, I want to, but I kind of feel like I always don't. It's hard to stand firm. And so Paul's telling me to stand firm, all right? But because of where I go, up and down, left and right, and standing firm is actually one of the, I'm really weak at it. Does anyone give me an amen there? Or am I just the one who's just, but you know what I mean? These people are laughing at me here going, why is that man preaching? He shouldn't be preaching, flip me, he's not even saved. No, I am, I promise you, right? But we all know what it means, stand firm, right? And everything inside us goes, yes. And then we go, oh, it's quite hard to do that. So what does it exactly mean? Now, this is a word of grace that you're gonna love, all right? So whenever David sets his heart, and this, remember, setting your heart to what? It's not to your own effort. Standing firm is not you going, right, no matter what comes my way, whether it's death or sickness or loss, I'm gonna grip my teeth and go for it. The original word is steko, and it means this, it means to be stationary, right? It means to be stationary. It comes at the root of it, and there's a familiar echo because the root of it is found in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. So standing firm means like this position of not moving and stationary. Now, let me tell you the root in Psalm 46, be still and know that I am God. Actually, do you know what that means? Being still, so steko, be stationary, be still, means actually to sink. The word is arpu, it means to sink and relax. You're sinking and relaxing, okay, into the arms of grace. That's how you stand firm. Let me tell you that in one sense, is there an effort required here? Don't grit your teeth. Don't say, no matter what comes my way, I am going to overcome. Because you know what? You're setting yourself up for disaster, because it's not by your effort. It's by his grace that you, by receiving his grace, remember Romans 5, that you rise above. So the effort that's required here is not what you think it is. It's not about head down. Actually, let me go back to what Jesus did. He got stationary and he relaxed, and to relax and sink, is that brilliant? You get that idea of you're sinking into big arms, right? Relax and sink into the arms of grace. It says that in Luke 5:16, Jesus would often slip away to the wilderness and pray, remember? And in pray, what that meant was he would come towards and he would exchange, all right? And so he would exchange what was in him, give it to his Father, all right? And that's what he would do when he went away, when he was stationary and being still. It's literally by interacting with the Lord. He takes those human things, okay? Our pain, our disappointment, our anger, our questions. Jesus had all of those. He knows exactly what it's like. And in that moment, what he does is he receives, as he gives it to the Lord, he's receiving faith instead, divine persuasion. And so what we see is this: if you want to have faith to overcome, to not be blown about, it is, how do you fix your heart? Well, actually fixing your heart is not found by gritting your teeth and going, I'm going to do better, because you'll end up disappointed. You won't be able to do it. But fixing your heart is always leaning towards grace. And in that point going, I actually can't do it. There's nothing in me will be able to stand firm. But Lord Jesus, your power in me, your grace in me is more than what I need. It's more than enough. And it's an overabundant supply to me in every area. And so I lay down my effort. I lay down my best intention. I lay down everything that I think I can bring. And instead, I am stationary before you right now, and I sink into your arms of grace. And in that place, the Lord is just lifting up all the weight, all the burden, and giving you his grace instead. So it was this place that we just look at Jesus, we see it modeled. Does that make sense to you? Isn't it amazing when we see fixing is not, I'm going to do it? It's too hard. The pain that we felt this week over Heather's passing, it's too hard in the human to carry it yourself. The Lord doesn't want you to. He wants you to stop and just sink into his loving arms. And in those moments, the questions and the doubt and the difficulty in every way, whether it's, you know, in the situation that we've walked through this week, or if it's in the, pandemic or whatever it is, it's like stop and just sink into those arms. In that place, lean towards him. And, you know, you'll see as your heart touches his heart, you'll find that exchange happening within you. You'll find the disappointment and the frustration leaving. And in that place, receiving the wholeness, the shalom of Jesus instead. Of course, it involves your dialogue, remember? I said, you know, it's good to talk it out with the Lord. He's not afraid of your words, and he's not afraid that you're going to say something which is going to upset him, all right? But primarily, it's a place of deep connection where you receive his grace, you receive his love, you receive his perspective in a place of worry, and where the weight of the world is really lifted. Can I take 5 minutes, guys, just to, I hope this is okay. I just want to take 5 minutes just to say a few more things. Actually, the word tells us that we should find a quiet and secluded place, right? This is what I love, okay? It says in the Message, Matthew 6, find a quiet and secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Do you know this week, this is not about role playing or pretending. Isn't it unbelievable to know, right, that God right now doesn't need anything from you? He doesn't need you to pretend. He doesn't need you to stiff upper lip and keep going. Just what it says in the word here, just be there with him as simply and as honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. That's what fixing your heart means. Fixing your heart means whenever, not about my own effort, not by strength or power, but you know what? I'm not going to role play. I'm not going to pretend. I'm just going to simply and as honestly as I can, as much as I can manage, I'm just going to be there and let my focus shift from me to God. And in that moment, supernatural grace is poured out. You see, your heart changes, your perspective changes. Whenever I do this, I see things differently. I start to feel differently about things that have burdened me and put me into fear. I move from that place of fear actually into rest. Okay, just sinking into the arms of the Lord. It's almost like you become realigned. And I want to say, I think we all need that. I think we all need more of that this year, isn't that right? Look what happens when we do. There's some incredible benefits in our life. I want to finish by just helping you with this verse. Because this is what, and it's funny, you know, when the Lord gives you a word, I preached this a few weeks ago, but I'm going to tell you it again. Because that word, remember what I'm saying is, like, you fix your heart before something happens. Actually, fixing your heart is not reactionary and responding, although it's okay to do that. But it's actually walking into the issues of life with grace already, those moments where God has already imparted grace to you. So remember 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God." So can I just say this is what the Lord wants for you? Why? Because it will fix you, it will steady you, and it will keep you firm. His plan is to help you. And this is how you're going to thrive even through these circumstances. Rejoice always. Okay? Remember, some of you didn't feel like rejoicing this week because things were tough. And outside of Jesus, actually, the only time that you can rejoice is when you're feeling joy. But that's not what this is about. Remember, this is Zaro. It means be lean towards, be favorably disposed, is another way of putting it, towards grace. So delight in God's grace. Lean into it, turn towards it, put your heart in the direction of God, receiving God's grace. All right? So it's like literally experience God's favor and be conscious for it. All right? So when you do that, all right, actually, you've only got two options. Let me just shoot really straight with you. If you don't turn and lean in towards grace, then your heart will only be fixed on what you can do. So you're either leaning in towards His supply or you're relying on yourself and what you think you can do. You know, that's why this week, watch Grace for Today every day. That's why this Wednesday, tune in when we do live. That's why on Sunday, you know, stop flicking through Facebook and looking at pictures of cats up trees and somebody's Valentine's dinner. Seriously, who gives a rip? You know what? Lean in to grace and receive. He then says, pray. If you're doing that, listen, I know it's Valentine's Day and all the rest of it. And I made Penny and the girls dinner last night. And I didn't get Penny a card. Judge me if you want. I probably should have, but we don't do Valentine's Day in our house. You know why? Because as I pointed out many times to Penny, every day is Valentine's Day when you live with me. You know what I mean? Like that woman, she is blessed. That's all I'm going to say. And I'm dead when I get home. Now, so we say, he then says, then pray unceasingly. All right? So lean towards grace. This is fixing your heart, honestly. This is how you rise and overcome. Lean towards grace. And then exchange and connect. Keep that heart healthy. Guard it says in Proverbs 4:23, because that's where everything comes from. Managing your heart, fixing your heart, is going to be critical for how you experience life, okay? Because everything is going to flow from there. Keeping your heart touching with the heart of Jesus, what does that mean? It means you raise up like a king and life flows through you. Now, if you don't do that, actually what you'll find is you're going to drift. You're going to drift because you're not enough. And everyone should say, amen, thank you, God, because I'm sick, sore, and tired trying to be enough for God when He doesn't need you to be. And the last thing He says is, give thanks always, right? This is good grace. Properly acknowledge, right, that the declaration, eucharisteo, God's grace works well. Always speak your unmerited favor, okay? Always, from that place of exchange, just say, Lord, thank you. I might not feel it. I might not be seeing it right now, but I know that it's only your grace that works well in my life today. Only that. Only that. And so many years ago, if I was preaching on Rehoboam, do you know what I would have been saying to you today? And with this, I am done. I would have said to you today, you know what, folks, get into the Word. Make sure you pray. Make sure you stand fast. And you know what? But we all know that we stand fast for about a week and a half. And then when inside, it's just like, oh, flip me, this is too tough. But today, I feel like the Lord, you know, just probably my own journey and walking through last week, even going, actually, I was never meant to have it in me. I don't have it in me, neither do you. You don't need to. But fixing my heart, see, David fixed his heart. David knew that everything that went on in his life was only God's favor. He knew that he was supernaturally blessed. Over and above his mess and his dysfunction, the only thing that sets him apart is that he had a heart for God. His heart was fixed. So fix your heart, rest in that place, and fall into the arms of God's grace today, and you'll stand well. Amen. I hope you've been encouraged in that. I hope that word has brought some life and some hope and some faith to you today. What I'd love to do right now is we're going to play a song of a favorite hymn of Heather's, actually. And we played it at her funeral on Friday. But we just wanted to, I want to pray for Ivan. I want to pray for Johnny and Nigel, Heather's sons, and the family today, Jessica and Pauline. And if you're wherever you are right now, I want you to pray with me. And I want you to, we're going to join together in faith and speak grace over Ivan and over his family. And will you join with me as we do that today? And then as I finish praying, we're going to just be grateful and thankful for Heather and for her life. We're going to be, and I'm just going to pray, and I want you to join with me. And then we're going to go straight. I want you to listen to the song, okay? It was one of Heather. She had it on her phone, and she would play it often. And so we just want to play that and remember it. And then Adam and Lauren are going to come and lead us in communion. So, Father, we want to thank you today for Heather. Lord, we want to thank you for the impact that she had on us here at Exchange, but also in all the areas that she was involved with over her life. Lord, I want to thank you that she was such an example of what it means to be captured by grace. Jesus, we thank you for her love. We thank you for her faithfulness. We thank you for her heart for you. Jesus, we thank you that even in this church, we saw how she served, how she poured out, how she was, there was nothing that was too much trouble, how she was practical, how she would, you know, turn up with that great smile on her face, ready to pour out love to whoever was around her. Jesus, we are so, so grateful that Heather was a part of our lives, Lord. And so today, what gives us hope is we know that right now, as I pray here and the people at home are listening, Heather is in your presence. Jesus, she is free from everything physical. Lord, she is being in that place this week of just seeing you and your glory and your love, Lord. And it'll only be the blink of an eye until we are all reunited again in heaven, Lord. That's our hope. Heaven is our hope. Not this world. Heaven is our hope. And Jesus, I pray over Ivan, over Johnny, Nigel, Pauline, Jessica, over the family today. We thank you, Father, for supernatural grace. We thank you, Father, for supernatural peace. We thank you that in the heartache and in the pain and in the loss, every day, Lord, that your abundant supply is more than enough. I pray today that they would know the supernatural peace of God, which goes beyond any understanding. Father, in the days and weeks to come, Lord, that you would be their strength, that you would be their hope. Lord, that as they cry and remember and mourn and laugh and think back and over their time with their mum and Ivan with his wife, Lord, I just pray that there would be such a sense of not just gratefulness in them for who Heather was, but just that hope that they will be reunited as a family, Lord, in your presence. So Jesus, supernatural grace over them today, supernatural love over them, supernatural peace over them. In Jesus' name. Let's just listen to this song together.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There Christ in me.